Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. As some of you may know, I spent a couple summers in Japan on short-term missions trips, and a lot of it, the missionary was working with us. It was a mission trip, but he was doing some discipleship training alongside of it. And so we were broken into groups, and he would do what he would call initiatives. And he would put a task before us. And I remember we did all kinds of them that we had to work together to accomplish something. And I remember one in particular where we had strings, maybe like five or six per team. We had strings, each one tied to a single rubber band. And so a long string, six different strings on there. And we'd all stand at different angles. And we had to work together to use that rubber band with our strings to pick up a styrofoam cup and to stack styrofoam cups in a tower together. And we had to carry them across the lot too, so we had to work together to stretch the rubber band, let it catch the cup, and then carry it over and make a stack of cups using that rubber band and those strings. And it was always amazing because they would tell us, okay, here's your task. Stack the cups using these rubber bands and strings. But your goal is teamwork. Your goal is to work together. Your goal is to come together and to encourage one another through this. And they'd always put different goals before us as how we could grow in teamwork. And I can assure you, a task like that, and that one in particular, really frustrated our teams because somebody was stretching the rubber band too hard, or we weren't collaborating together, or we dropped the cups, we had to take it back to the beginning, and we were kind of biting at each other's throats a little bit, like, come on, what's wrong with you? And when we got done and we did our debriefing and evaluated ourselves, and okay, maybe we finally accomplished the task, or maybe we didn't. But I can assure you one thing, we failed our goal of teamwork, of encouraging one another, whatever that might be. So they kind of gave me some insight into life by doing that, by saying, okay, you have tasks that you have to do, but even alongside those tasks, you still have certain goals that you can't forsake those goals in the pursuit of the task. And oftentimes we lost sight of the goal and we were focused on the task and forget everything else. And I think we can do that in life. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. We're starting a new series, Christ and Your Problems. Christ and Your Problems. And this first message I'm calling Pursuing Holiness Together. Pursuing Holiness Together. And this is kind of an intro to kick off our series. And I don't know, can we talk about holiness, or is that too legalistic? I mean, God is holy, but can I really be holy? 1 Peter 1:15-16 tells us, straight out of Leviticus too, be holy just as I am holy. We're called by God to be holy. And we're going to see from our passage today too, when we get down to verse 14, I believe it is, that we're going to be told to pursue peace with all people and holiness. If I can find it. Yep. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Something that we're going to strive for. And I don't believe at all that it's legalistic. We are called to grow and to keep growing in holiness. And I think there's a couple different ways that we as Christians can deal with our sins and our problems. And one is, you know what a chameleon is, right? We got our little chameleon that we keep at home, and but I mean, if it were this one doesn't transform. But if I could put it here, he might blend right in because his color would adapt, and you might notice how he just kind of fits the pattern there. And we can be kind of Christian chameleons. I'm going to be as good a person as I can be that's good enough to fit with the group. And if this is the kind of behavior that this group is working on, I'm going to be good in that sort of way, especially when I'm with that group, because I'm going to kind of blend right in with them. So as long as I don't stand out for my sin, then I'm okay. The other way we can kind of act is we could be kind of kitty litter Christians, like, okay, we don't talk about our problems. That's like bathroom talk, so I'm just going to kind of bury it in the litter over here, and my sins, it's gone out of sight, nothing to do with it. As long as you can't see it, it's not a problem for me. But God is very serious about our holiness, and He's very serious about that process and that pursuit in our lives. And we're told all throughout Scripture, we're given a picture of God's holiness. If you ever take the time to read through Leviticus, I know it's hard to get through, but that's a big picture of God's holiness, that he has perfection, and He is actually trying to extrapolate perfection from us, that we would adapt to what He wants from us. And that's why they can quote from Leviticus, and Peter says, "Be holy, just as I am holy," referring just quoting God there, that we've got God as a standard of holiness. And it's true, I can never measure up to God's holiness. I'm just going to put it out there right now. And we can make our excuses. Well, okay, so I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be. Or even, okay, everybody sins. Or maybe it's the, you know, nobody has the same problems I do. If you only understood my problems, then you'd see where I'm coming from. And that's our memory verse just reminds us of that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men." Everybody's going through, not in your exact situation, but everybody struggles with these temptations. You're not going to have the same problems as me, but there are other people out there. This temptation is not unique to you. And you can't say, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. Okay, but God does. And we've got Hebrews 4:15, which reminds us that we have a high priest who sympathizes and understands. Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." He became man. He experienced the limitations of being human. He knows our weakness. He was hungry after fasting for 40 days when he went and got tempted by Satan. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we have a God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands as an advocate for us. He's our high priest. He mediates between us and God, and he's given us his righteousness that we bear, and he understands our struggle with sin. And we have one another. And I can look out there and know that none of you are perfect. So, hey, we're all in this together, the pursuit of holiness together, that we need to keep going. There's no excuses. So does holiness matter? I've said this before when we were talking about some of these things last year. You can't have the gospel without holiness. Now, I have to qualify that statement, because you can't say you have to be holy to be saved. Because that's not what it's all about, because obviously we can't measure up, nobody would be saved. Jesus, we know from Ephesians 2:8-9, and I always misquote this, I always get it mixed up, so I'm going to turn there. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I can't achieve it myself. But then it goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the holiness and the good works are the result of our salvation. And the gospel saves us unto good works, not unto perfection. We're not going to be there, but it is going to be something that we're going to be pursuing. And it is Christ's holiness that we will bear. So we can't have the gospel without holiness, because we can't enter into God's presence with our sinful imperfection. But when we bear Christ's righteousness, Christ's holiness, then we are able to enter into God's presence. On the flip side too, then, we can't have holiness without the gospel. You can't get to holiness without Jesus dying for my sins and rising again, so that He can forgive me, having been the perfect lamb that paid the price and satisfied God's wrath over sin. And He can give me the victory over sin and death, and I am raised to new life and the forgiveness of sins. So those are all tied together. Our passage in Hebrews 12 is about running a race. I was in cross country in high school. I remember starting off my freshman year, and hey, I'm going to do that. And got trying to keep up with everybody. And my coach pulls me aside and says, "Hey, you're kind of wobbly when you run. It's kind of tired, man. Like, you guys are running all the time, and I'm out of breath." And he had to work with me on my form. It's like, okay, I don't know if I'm like half dying while I'm trying to run, but he's like, you're kind of wobbly. And if I'd only read Hebrews 12, verse 12 and 13, or verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. And he's talking a physical example here, because he's talking about running the race that's set before us. And he's saying, you can't have weak knees, and you're going to run kind of wobbly, and you're going to fall over. And your arms are important for your stride. You have to get them going and strengthen those arms and have strong knees when you're going. Strengthen yourself, and you're going to be training yourself for the pursuit of holiness. I'm going to break down this passage for us today as quick as I can so that we're not here all day. I just enjoyed breaking this apart because there's so much in here that's good. But as we're getting ready to do this series, Christ and Your Problems, I want everybody to see me after, and I'm going to be giving everybody a copy of this booklet. Same title. I'm not basing my series off of this, but I think this is a valuable tool. Counseling perspective, especially breaks down our memory verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and helps us to see that God and His Word are sufficient to help us to overcome our sins and to find strength to pursue righteousness. And I think everybody would be able to read this. It's not due by next week. It's just a resource for you, only 30 pages. And just something to, okay, when you get your struggle in mind, hey, I'm struggling with this. This is a good book to sit down and work through and think about and say, yeah, especially as we're memorizing our verse. This is what this means. This is kind of helpful to, okay, everybody else is going through some sort of struggle. This isn't a unique struggle. And so get one per family. Get your book from me after the service today. I want you to go home with one. And next, as we're entering into this, though, Christ and Your Problems, you might be wondering, okay, are you qualified to preach about this? And, I mean, yes, I am. I've obviously got this taken care of. And no, I'm not. But just like Paul says to 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And Paul's even saying to Timothy, a pastor that he's training, as you're growing in these things, let people see your progress, because it's a process. Holiness is a process, and I hope that maybe you'll notice that in a few years, or maybe even next year, or in a few months from now, that I am growing in holiness. I'm long ways off, but I am in that direction. An author, a biblical counseling author by the name of David Pallison, says holiness is like doing a yo-yo, walking up the stairs. It's got its up and down, ups and downs, but it's got the trajectory of going upward. You're going to have up and down days, but we're constantly trying to keep growing so that hopefully by a few months from now, I'm not where I was today. And yes, I'm preaching to myself too. Christ is sufficient for my problems, and He's going to help me to overcome sin. And so we're in this together. We're going to pursue holiness together. We're going to be looking at several problems this after today, kind of kicking off the series. We're going to be breaking down several problems and see what God has to say about them. For example, rebellion, our disobedience to authority, substance abuse, whether it's drugs and alcohol, or gluttony because I can't stop eating, laziness, worry, fear, anxiety, pride, greed, despair, idle speech, whether it's swearing or gossip or just whatever it might be, sexual immorality, anger, and with that, bitterness, and all these things together, we're going to try to break down and walk through one per week. What does God say about this problem? And as you'll see by the end of today, part of our goal in this is I want to overcome this problem myself, and I want to be equipped to help a friend or help someone in my family and say, hey, let me help you. Here's how God helped me overcome anger. and I want to show you from Scripture how God can help you. And maybe we'll be equipped to work through our problems and to lead somebody else to grow through their problems. All right. We must train in the pursuit of holiness. We're going to rush through our passage today. We must train in the pursuit of holiness. I think we see this laid out for us in Hebrews 12. The training, as we're about to run this race, we're in the midst of a marathon. And that race is our holiness, and that's our ongoing goal. In the midst of hundreds of daily tasks, we can't sacrifice the goal for the task, that we will become more like Jesus and overcome sin. And so, okay, maybe I'm driving and someone's in my way and I've got somewhere I've got to be. The task is getting to work and getting there on time. But my goal is still holiness, and I'm not going to fly around them and yell at them or anything. I'm still so that we can see there's tasks that we have to do, but there's the goal of holiness along the way, and we're going to try to work and progress in that together. We must train in the pursuit of holiness. So that's our race. We're going to train together to strengthen our hands, which hang down so we're not wobbly, and have strong knees, and pursue holiness. Hebrews 12:14, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I have a feeling we might just get started today and have to pick up on this next week. We'll see how this goes. And the first thing we need to do is follow God's mold. Follow God's mold. God is showing us all throughout Scripture how do we pursue holiness. How are we going to pursue holiness? And how are we going to train? And we're coming right out of Hebrews 11, right? Hebrews 11, we've got the great hall of faith, and we're told about Moses and about Samson and Jephthah and Gideon and Abraham and so many. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken away. By faith, Noah. And we're kind of looking back to the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints who had faith and trust in God. And then we get to Hebrews 12 and it says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and I want to stop right there and say, hey, that's what they are. We've got the whole Old Testament full of great men of faith who follow God, men and women of faith, and he says they're witnesses. They're not the heroes. They're the witnesses of the hero. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who had the faith, who trusted God along the way. And he tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we've got witnesses from the Old Testament, but we've got Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I have to parallel this with 1 Corinthians 10, which is where our memory verse comes from. And Paul's writing about some of the Old Testament people, and he says, they all ate the same spiritual food, they all drank the same spiritual drink, and I'll pick up in 1 Corinthians 10:5. He says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So we do get examples in the Old Testament, examples of what not to do especially. We get men who are witnesses of faith in God, but we get a lot of examples of how we shouldn't live our lives. And we can look after them and point at them, but I think we can realize that we see ourselves in them like, hey, I need to change. So we've got examples of what not to do. We've got witnesses of how to have faith in Jesus. And we've got Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He started this whole thing. It's by him alone that I can even start this race and pursue holiness. And he's going to be the only way that I can even get there, because I know that Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can be confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that God is going to finish this. Not me. We're ridiculed for that kind of thinking. In Galatians 3, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? It's not going to be me that finishes it. God is, Jesus is the author, and he is the finisher, the beginning and the end to my faith, and he's going to be the one that strengthens me through this race. And then we remember who is faithful from our memory verse. God is faithful along the way. That the only way I'm going to be able to do that, because I'm not strong in and of myself. I'm going to droop my hands. my knees are going to grow weak, and I'm going to collapse apart from Him. But thankfully, God is faithful. He makes the way of escape, and He will help me along the way in this race. And I can follow God's mold in the pursuit of holiness. I think I'm going to, because of our time, I'm going to let us finish up next week. This is the second time I've ever done this, but I don't want to rush this and cut us off. So I'm going to kind of wrap us up where we're going in the pursuit of holiness together. That it's something that's very important. It's a key part of what is my life about. I've been saved by grace through faith. It's nothing in and of myself. But I'm saved unto good works. I am His workmanship. We're called in Ephesians trophies of God's grace, that my life would demonstrate what God's grace can do, that it's not because of me, but it would show this is what God's grace can accomplish. This shows how great God is. And it starts with following God's mold, that I could see all through Scripture, what does God want me to do? And see, look at those witnesses, look at those negative examples, and look unto Jesus. Fix my eyes on Him, because I've got a destination in this race, and it's my Lord and Savior, and that's what I'm pursuing, and that's why I'm after holiness in the midst of everything. Yes, holiness matters, and I'm going to do everything it takes to train myself in the pursuit of that. We'll pick up next week with the last three points in this message. And I think this is important to understand in our pursuit. And it'll lay the foundation for the rest of the series of how do I overcome anger in my life? How do I overcome sexual immorality? How do I overcome pride? How do I overcome greed, idle speech, laziness, despair, these things? Because we're all working through our own struggles. Yours might be different than mine, but we're all falling short, and we're all in desperate need of a Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this passage. Lord, we only just opened the pages this morning, and I pray that we'll have a chance to meditate in it this week and come back to it next week, Lord, and think upon You. But Lord, I ask that You would help us to consider the question, does holiness matter? And is it something I can strive for? Lord, I thank You that it is a process by which I will be doing all my life. I'll never say I have arrived, but it'll keep me looking unto Jesus, which is what You delight on. Lord, not looking at myself, but looking to Your Son, giving You the glory, depending on You. It is by His strength that I will run this race. Lord, strengthen our hands and our knees and our hearts especially this week as we go about our lives, that we would remember Your word, that we would live by it, and we would pursue holiness in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.